hello to ba-ba-da-da-da, Mother Love. Hi, Mother Love.
Good morning. Well, good afternoon to you.
Yes, how are you?
I am very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, thanks. It's interesting, this whole concept is, you know, it's kind of melded the old People's Court and, you know, Jerry Springer or something and come up with this kind of a new thing. Instead of people whacking each other and hitting each other with chairs, they're trying to actually get along a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Well, no, I think it's a lot. I think it's a great way to make that turn in the road for talk television, as it were.
Tell us a little bit about...
Turn to.
Yeah, I want to know who developed the idea, and I know that you have a radio show you've been doing for a long time. Was this where the foundation started?
I think it actually started when I was a little kid growing up in those projects you were just telling everybody about. It was just so odd when I was growing up. People in the neighborhood, they might get sick or somebody might pass away or they need something, and they would come to our house and look for my mother to console them and to help them. And she would make me get up and go with her. And I'm like, why do I have to be with these stinky people? What? And she would say, oh, sweetie, you're just going to always make them feel better, so you just come. And I didn't know what she meant by that. And as I grew up, I realize what it is, and it's just such a great thing that people want to come and tell me things, and they come and tell me things, and they share their most private moments with me, and I'm really honored to have that, and we just have a way to put it in an open forum. As for the development of the show, I certainly didn't do it. I have to give the credit to the executive producers, Jonathan Goodson Productions and Harris Cattleman. They came up with the idea, and they took it to 20th Television. They said, this is a brilliant idea, and we know just who to get for it. And it took them a while to get to me, but they got to me.
It's interesting. It says in your bio that that your mother would take you to funerals whenever she could just to liven the crowd.
Oh, yeah. I was like, you know, you invite people to the party or the wedding or the whatever the celebration is. I got invited to funerals.
Wow.
And I would always say, why do I have to go? And that's what I was saying. She would always say, you're going to make them feel better. I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm not going to do anything. And she would say, you just be your usual charming self and they'll be fine.
You mentioned that you disappeared for 10 years and you were doing other things. But, I mean, they put so much pressure on you to become huge again that it must be difficult to follow it up.
It you know, it's difficult, and now that I'm you know, involved with No Doubt's follow up to Tragic Kingdom, it's sort of reliving it vicariously through their experience all over again.
Yeah.
I guess the trick is for any artist to be able to maintain a continuity so that you don't lose the foundation of the audience that you've established based upon your success. But you also don't want to necessarily repeat yourself. So it's a fine line that any artist walks. You want to grow and you want to be able to move forward, but at the same time you have to be very mindful of where you came from. And the follow-up album to I Don't Speak the Language, there's a whole bunch of things that I can get into politically and musically that would probably give some insight as to why my artistic career was not meant to flourish in the wake of Break My Stride.
Was it not a good follow-up album? Were you not pleased with it?
If I had to do it all over again, I would probably have taken more time to put the second album together. I was under a tremendous amount of pressure and a big rush. But that said, the label, the subsidiary, was in trouble at the time, and there was a whole change in the regime at the label itself, so the landscape had changed considerably, and it's very hard to be able to pinpoint any one particular aspect as to why the follow-up album did not do as well. But and admittedly that there were a few things that I had done artistically that I think were just a little bit too much of a radical departure.
But, you know, it's interesting because you mentioned the rush, and I've talked to so many people here who've had these major hits, and their record company says, we've got to get another one out right away. You know, if they already have a single in the can, great, they'll put that out. But if they don't, they've got to get another album out right away. And it's like automatically killing the quality, because you can't possibly put together as good a product if you're rushing it out.
I agree. There were other things, you know, just based upon the success of Break My Stride as well, that I wished had been treated differently. That song never had a video at the time.
Mm.
I went to the label and asked them, you know, I was very interested in doing something along the lines of The Point or an animation that Harry Nilsson had done years ago. I wanted to try to put something together, ironically, that would musicalize the animation. And they just laughed at me. They said, animation, you're not even going to get a video.